Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Life for Wired podcast. Thank you guys for joining us on a Saturday now, not a Sunday. So February 5th on Saturday this week. And before we begin, this podcast is brought to you by Visionary Meals. Visionary Meals is a local meal prepping service in the Columbus, Ohio area. And, you know, we love this specific service because you do get a much higher quantity and higher volume of food in the meals versus other, you know, companies out there, meal service companies. You also get to specify your calories and macros on each one of the meals, as well as increase protein to upwards of 8 to 10 ounces per meal. You know, a lot of the other meal prepping services out there, you know, offer much lower protein amounts. So this is something that's really important. As you guys know, it's one of the most important macronutrients that we can consume. If you use our code RELENTLESSTRAINING10, you guys will get 10% off your order. And this podcast is also brought to you by the Relentless Training mobile app. With the monthly app subscription, you guys get access to daily on-demand workouts from 6 completely different training programs, including strength and conditioning, high-intensity interval strength training, power building, cross training, bodybuilding, and body weight only. And for our listeners, you guys will get $10 off the life of your subscription using code LIFERewired10. And lastly, our guys at Athletic Greens, we believe that Athletic Greens is the simplest way for you guys to get all the necessary daily vitamins and minerals in just one scoop. It's super easy. You guys just scoop, throw it in water, shake it up, and you can just slam it. And it's got a bunch of smaller micronutrients as well as the antioxidant level of 10 to 12 servings of fruits and vegetables. And you know, not many of us have the ability to get this amount of servings in a given day. So it's just a great way to fill in the gaps. With our partner offer, you guys can get 5 free travel packs and a 1-year supply of vitamin D and K2 with your order of Athletic Greens. And we will make sure to include all links to all the things we just talked about in the show notes after the episode.
Yeah, so today we are doing a Q&A, a little update. We actually recorded a Q&A last weekend right before the Bengals game. We were so excited. It was an awesome podcast. And then we came back to edit after the game. Super pumped about a win. And the episode was gone. But that's life. And luckily, you guys asked some awesome questions. So we're excited to spend our Saturday with you guys. Of course, you're listening to this on a Sunday. But we're going to go through and just start fresh
with all these questions. Answering your guys' questions.
Yeah, so you guys asked a great, you know, amount of questions. There's some fitness, some personal development, some relationship. So we appreciate you guys asking all the questions, and we're going to dive right on in, starting with an Oura Ring review. Oura Ring is a ring. It's like an activity tracker. So since Zach has the Whoop and I have the Oura Ring, we've both tried Apple Watches. We both have like our own that we prefer. And I think it's really unique to give a female and male perspective because that's essentially why we like our activity tracker of choice. But this person said, I've been hearing mixed reviews about the Oura Ring and wanted to know my opinion. So I've had it since November, and I've had, like I said, Apple Watch, Fitbit, Whoop before, and personally, I like an activity tracker that tracks my steps, my activity, my sleep, recovery, and also my cycle. So that's why I love the Oura Ring, and honestly, I do think it is very fashionable. I have a gold one. You can choose the color, and I always get made fun of for wearing like an Apple Watch or a Whoop when I go out like and dress up because I still want to get my steps in, and it's just like I feel naked without it. But the Oura Ring, you can wear it everywhere, so I do like that. It's a little bit fashionable, but also it does track my readiness for the day, the sleep, activity, and then it does tell me when my cycle's coming. It also has meditation roped into the software. So obviously there's no screen on the ring. It comes with the software, but what's cool is they give you like 6 months free of the app and the software, and then after your like ring is paid off, essentially your subscription kicks in. So I love it personally, and I think the reason I like it so much is because you get to keep it. I used to have the Whoop, which Zach's about to give his review on, and I didn't like that you had to pay on it monthly, but you didn't get to keep it.
Yeah, so to talk a little bit about, you know, the pros and what I like about the Whoop, honestly, the Whoop opened my eyes up to the importance of your sleep quantity and your sleep quality, as well as your recovery. I think these are two of the biggest things that have just been huge in, you know, maximizing my performance, ensuring that I feel my best on every given day from both a mental and physical standpoint, because this thing is incredibly accurate when it comes to your recovery and your sleep. So essentially, guys, it gives you a recovery score, so a percentage based off of your heart rate variability and your resting heart rate as it pertains to those daily normal metrics. So it's able to use kind of how high your activity was the day prior, as well as your sleep and some of those other specific variables to calculate and give you a recovery score. And it'll either be in the red or the yellow or the green. So it actually gives you a chart. And red means that it was anywhere between 0% and 33% quality sleep, quality recovery. And then 33% to 66% gives you the yellow score. And then anywhere between 66% and 100% is in the green, which means you had optimal recovery. You're going to be able to perform at a high level, you know, that next day. And so personally, I think if you're someone who, you know, trains at a high level, who does do a lot of different styles of training, you know, cross modality training, I think that this fitness tracker specifically would be great for you. I think, you know, it does a great job of making you and motivating you to prioritize your sleep. I know in the past, it's not something that I necessarily checked when I had an Apple Watch. And, you know, the Whoop is very accurate when it comes to sleep. It actually gives you every single day a breakdown of your sleep performance. So how many disturbances you had, how efficient the sleep was, if your respiratory rate spiked. Like, for example, I know, you know, after a night of drinking, like the respiratory rate spikes like crazy. And it definitely, and it definitely impacts your recovery score. So I just think it's amazing as far as really helping you guys feel your best. And be fueled to be able to perform and feel your best and just perform at a high level. So I love the Whoop in that respect. I think when it comes to any fitness tracker, you guys just really have to take the caloric burn with a grain of salt. You know, me and Christina, she's used an Oura Ring, a Whoop, an Apple Watch. I've used an Apple Watch, Fitbit, and Whoop now. You also use a Fitbit, didn't you?
Yeah.
So we've used like pretty much everything, and all of these different fitness trackers are going to give you different calorie burns. So that's something that we've come up with and realized in the past using these different things. So you just kind of have to take that caloric number with a grain of salt. Like, I know personally, a lot of my workouts tend to be a little bit more intense. I make sure to do, you know, cardio every day. I lift every day. I sometimes do Olympic weightlifting with those other things every day. And so, you know, on an Apple Watch, I remember my caloric burn was like ridiculous and like through the roof. And my caloric burn on the Whoop is a little bit more honest. It's a little bit more reasonable. But I would just say, just take it with a grain of salt. The best metric to use for figuring out, you know, that daily caloric intake is really to cross-reference your biometrics like your height, weight, sex, daily activity, and things like that to really figure out what a consistent calorie intake would look like for you individually. So always just take that with a grain of salt, depending on what fitness tracker you do decide to use.
Yeah, and one thing I will say about the difference between the Whoop and the Oura, because I was like weaning off the Whoop when I got my Oura Ring, was that the Whoop does calculate a lot of activity calories, like mostly just like your activity burn with your strain. And the Oura Ring, I wake up and it has my BMR already burnt, which is essentially what my body burns at rest.
Yeah.
So I do like that because it shows my BMR and it also shows my activity on top of it. So I think my TDEE, which is like your maintenance calories, of all the activity trackers, I think the Oura Ring does a great job of showing a little bit more accuracy, because when I had the Whoop, I was like, I have to work out every day. Otherwise, I burn zero calories. So I was like, it was kind of beating myself up with it. But yeah, everyone, you know, I think what's great about these two is like male perspective, former athlete, like Whoop is for you for sure. And women out there who track your cycle, like to meditate and track your steps, we're just different consumers and have a different preference. So next question is very personal, and I also love that the person that asks this like pays attention to what we call each other, and that is our puzzle piece. So this person asks, at what moment did you know the other was the other person's puzzle piece? And Zach got me a puzzle piece last year for my birthday and Christmas. It's a necklace, so if you ever see any photo I'm wearing it every single day. And I will say, you know, I know our moment was the exact same, and it was when we were like texting, and we went to the same gym. We lived in the same apartment complexes, which is how we met. We were walking the dogs, and they wanted to say hi to each other, and in turn made us say hi to each other. So we crossed paths quite a bit, ended up at the gym at the same time on purpose. But I worked out a little before he got there, so I was like, okay, in case we start talking, like at least I got a little bit of a workout in. And he got there, and we immediately stood outside the locker rooms on a treadmill and talked for like 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, we literally, I think in that moment is kind of when I realized I actually went home and told my best friend, Justin. So shout out, Justin, if he's listening to this. But I was like, yeah, man, I'm in trouble. Like, this girl is like so similar to me. And we were just talking about just a lot of the things, you know, our goals in life, our priorities, what we value. A lot of just things across the board that we were talking about just aligned, you know, with one another. And it was just like kind of a shocking experience because you don't really meet too many people who just align so perfectly with, you know, you and your beliefs and what you value and what you're looking for in a partner and things like that. And I think in that moment, we both kind of just had that realization, whether we realized it or not in the time. Yeah. We definitely had that realization, like, you know, this might really be the person that I was meant to be with, I guess.
That's so, right. It's crazy. You said, like, we align perfectly, and that's what puzzle pieces do when they find the right piece, fit together perfectly. And so we always say that about each other. But yeah, it was very crazy how, like, deep in conversation we got. Like, people were coming in, doing a whole workout, and coming then and leaving, and we were still there talking. And I remember, like, around this time, I was talking to my mom, like, that week, and I was just like, oh, like, I'm so sick of, like, surface-level conversations. Like, I don't feel like I'll ever find a guy who, like, talks about, like, deep, meaningful things and does personal development. And then literally that week we were talking, and he was just, like, so deep in conversation, talking about personal development, like, I was shook. So I left the gym also, and I called my mom on the way home, and I was like, Mom, I'm in trouble. Like, you remember everything I told you? Like, I won't settle for unless it's this, this, and this. And he checked every single box in one conversation. So after that, I was like, this is it.
So that's pretty much when we knew.
It's very fitting. It was at the gym.
Yeah.
Going into personal development, as we were talking about, we were talking about personal development a lot in that first conversation together, but PD is, like, really important to us. So our top personal development books, I would say one I recommend to anyone who's never read a personal development book is Atomic Habits. That is, like, the first place to start. Mine, my fitness, my personal development journey kind of started with Atomic Habits and the You Are a Badass series. There's four books in that series: You Are a Badass, You Are a Badass Every Day, You Are a Badass at Making Money, and Badass Habits. I love reading, like, habit-based books, so I would say those four were huge for me. And I actually have a list in my phone, so while Zach lists his off, I'm going to pull it up.
I was going to say, yeah, since there's so many I could give here for my top personal development books, I'm going to give four. Christina mentioned one, Atomic Habits. I think every single person out there should read this book because, you know, whether you're good at one thing, five things, it doesn't matter. James Clear does a fantastic job of iterating how you guys can take one skill, something that you're good at, and really push that into other areas of your life. And he's someone that, you know, first and foremost introduced me to that idea of how you do anything is how you truly do everything. And, you know, if you hold yourself to a higher standard, you know,
no pun intended,
a higher standard in one area of your life, you're going to do it in other areas. And if you let yourself slip in one area of your life, you're going to let yourself slip in other areas of your life. And I think he just does a good job of showing the power of habits, both positively and negatively, because he will describe how, you know, if we get into these routines and, you know, we do some of these negative things over and over again, that just becomes our norm, and it can, you know, deter from getting us to where we are, to where we want to go. And so I think he does a really good job of showing both sides, where it's like, you know, you can take these positive habits and build them upon one another and great things can happen. But he also talks about, you know, the negative impact of having these bad habits that compile over time. So he gives both sides. Really awesome. So, so applicable to real life. And I think a lot of you guys could level up many areas of your life by reading that book. Another one I love, especially for dudes out there, is Ego is the Enemy. I think, you know, a lot of us naturally have egos that we have to put aside and, you know, think logically and make quality decisions based off of other factors other than our ego. And if we're not careful, that ego really can take over and can take over our lives. And, you know, a lot of our decision making and the way we act and the way we interpret things can be very skewed and very different from what, you know, we truly believe and how we truly feel based off of, you know, the power of our ego. And, you know, he does a great job in that book of giving real world examples of individuals where, you know, they did let the ego dominate their life, and he shows where it kind of got them. And then he shows the flip side of people who had control over their egos, you know, humble, very humble, but successful individuals who have not only become successful, you know, financially in their career, but also are just great people that give back, that, you know, help other people, that are doing things in acts of service and things like that. So I think he does just a great job in that book, and I highly recommend Ego is the Enemy. Another one I recommend is Unfuck Yourself by Gary Bishop, because I think a lot of us, you know, stand in our own way. You know, a lot of us are sometimes unhappy with where we currently are at in our lives. And, you know, he does a great job of really helping you get out of your own way so you can really live a truly purposeful and fulfilled life. And I know that one was huge. I'll never forget. I was reading that book, you know, on my flights to and from business trips when I was, you know, turbulent, trying to figure out what the next step would be in my life. And, you know, Gary Bishop, you know, reading that book, he really pushed me in the direction of where I'm at now. I know that was a staple part of my journey, getting out of my own way. Both of those books back to back, I mean, were tremendous in that. And I think another, my fourth one, again, I could list off a bunch, but my fourth and last one that I'll give, ironically, is Give and Take. Give and Take, I think, is an awesome, awesome book by Adam Grant, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, this is a great book about, like, givers and takers, like people who are naturally more giving and people who are naturally more of the taker style personality, who, you know, take advantage of people and things like that. And I think he really brings it, meets it in the middle from both of those perspectives, saying, you know, you can be a giver, but also don't be a giver too much that you get trampled all over. And then you can take, but don't be too much of a taker that, you know, you're obviously mean and selfish and things like that to other people and to other situations in your life. So I think he does a really good job of showing you what a balanced life looks like. What does it really mean to be balanced from both a giving and taking standpoint? And he obviously, you know, uses examples of the real world. I love all these books because they all really do that. They give real world examples of people, companies, success stories, and they basically drive home their point with these real life situations and circumstances and examples. And so those are the four I highly recommend for sure.
Yeah, I have two more, and I'm shocked you didn't say this one specifically. I'll say this is the one I recommend to all my clients who are in a relationship, and it helped us when we first started dating too, for me to know your love language. So Five love languages is super important just to know if you are in a relationship or not. You know, the work you do now, if you're not in a relationship, if you're in a single season, right now is where you prepare for your future relationship. So I actually read this book before I dated Zach, and when we started dating, I'm like, take this test immediately. What is your love language? And it's just really helpful to make sure you show up for that person in their love language versus loving them in your own. And that causes tension and miscommunication. So It's super important. It helps that we're the same love language. Of course, puzzle pieces. But this one, Power of Now, is
one
of our favorite books. So like last year, when quarantine first started, we both read Unfuck Yourself together. Kind of, we went to Target. We would buy books like every day, Barnes & Noble, Target. With Power of Now, I think changed you even more than it changed me. And I read it once, and it's a really hard read. It's a very hard read. But when I read it again the second time, I think when I recommended it to you and I saw how much it changed your life, I'm like, I should read this again and like take my time and start to implement it. And it really caused us to be way more present. So
yeah, I'm just going to give an example with that book because it just crossed my mind. But I know toward the height of my foot, like the height and toward the end and the height of my football career in college at Ohio State, I know that I was getting like very caught up in like the next thing, like, okay, what's the next game? Like, what's the next accomplishment? What's like the next thing? I was always kind of just not present. I was always focusing on the next best thing, always looking forward into the future. And I'll never forget, like, reflecting back as I was reading that book, I thought of all these times that, you know, my parents and family drove hours and hours and hours to see me play. And, you know, my mind was elsewhere. I'm always worrying and concerned about other things. And, you know, I kind of let that become a habit of mine. And I noticed that it was becoming very present when I was working in my career and I was doing other things where I was constantly always worried or thinking about the future or, you know, thinking about the past. And I was never truly embracing the present moment, taking advantage of what I have right now in this moment. And that book really brought me back to earth. Like, Christina handed it to me at like the most crucial time when I was struggling in my career and I was trying to find out what I was going to be doing next. I was really passionate about finding out what that was. I just didn't know what it looked like at the time. And, you know, she handed me that book and it really did. I mean, I can honestly say that was, out of all those books I described, that is by far one of the most life-changing books because it really does bring you back down to earth, back down to, you know, what it is that's happening in your life at that time and all the things that you can control, that you have control over in the moment. And, you know, I just think we just all get super caught up and distracted and busy all the time. And this is like such a powerful book. So I highly recommend. So yeah, I'm shocked myself I didn't mention that.
I know. It came to me and I'm like, I have to write this down. But yeah, I feel like we could someday do a whole episode podcast or our book recommendations. So I'll kind of go into this question because it relates to this during that time in your life, Zach, was strategies for finding your purpose in life. And for me, what helped, I mean, I went to school for exercise science, so I always knew I wanted to do something in health and fitness. But what helped me find my like actual purpose was just going out and trying different things. Like I did cardiac rehab for a long time. I did a social media job and for a fitness app. That was my 9-to-5 before I quit. And ultimately, like, I just followed my gut, and I didn't even know that it was my gut like talking to me. But I did these internships in cardiac rehab, and I loved like doing that. It's my ultimate why. But I realized, okay, I can help people before they have a heart attack and before they have to go into intensive surgery. So my purpose was preventing that from happening, and also for the people in my life, inspiring people to take care of their health, both mentally and physically. So my purpose is, yeah, essentially what I'm doing now, but I had to try different things in order to get to where I am. And I even started my own business. I was a business owner in health and fitness and in-person online training. And then once, you know, it's crazy how like you cross paths with people. And once again, just listening to your gut, opportunity struck. And now I'm the head assistant coach in the Higher Standard. And that's like, I feel like my ultimate purpose, because not only am I helping women like transform their lives, it's not just about health and fitness, which is what it was when I was on my own. It's personal development. They change jobs. They change relationships. They move across the country. I get to see them transform their entire life, not just their body fat and their healthy habits and stuff like that. And then now I get to coach the coaches and coaching their clients. So that's my ultimate purpose, is like leading a group of people. I love educating. I love like the why behind things. And then I love seeing my clients come to those transformations and make it a lifestyle for themselves. So it's kind of how I've stumbled into my purpose. But ultimately, like, what helped me know this was for me was learning more about my Enneagram and learning more about myself and just being very self-aware.
Self-awareness.
Through personal development. So like a lot of what you'll hear from both of us in finding this purpose and strategies is like trying different things, following your gut, networking, connecting with other people, and then like really diving into like self-awareness and personal development.
Yeah, I would say two of the biggest things as far as finding your purpose, finding what, you know, you'll truly be fulfilled by. Number one is you have to do the work. There's so many of us out there, and I know I used to live this way where I'm like, my purpose is just gonna, you know, pop into my head one day and I'm gonna just figure it out. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Like, you have to really sit down. I'll never forget, just to kind of relay it to my personal story, I really didn't even know where to begin. And I'm not even kidding you. I just wrote stuff down. I'm like, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. This is how I want a day to look. This is how I dislike what my day looks like today and now in my current stage in life. And that's where it started. And then it relayed and it pushed more toward the personal development books, the podcasts, things like that. So you guys really, you have to do the work. Like, I just had a phone conversation with a former teammate of mine who's kind of struggling in this right now. You know, his professional career is nearing its end, and you know, he's trying to figure out what that next thing is. And I just told him, and I'm going to iterate it to you guys, is you have to just do the work. You have to start figuring out what you enjoy, what you don't enjoy. And it all falls back on that self-awareness. And the only way to figure that out is trying things too. Like, so many of us are so concerned about what the outside world thinks about us. You know, our egos get in the way. Things like that deter us from trying things. Like, don't be afraid to go out, do something, completely fail, and then bang, try something else. Do that thing, completely fail. Like, so many of us, like, we put on this, we need this image of this self-image that shows, you know, we're successful, we've done, you know, all these cool things, blah, blah, blah. But like, you're never going to find out what that thing is without trying things. So please get out of your comfort zone, put the ego aside, and start trying things, because that's the only way you're going to know. And at the end of the day, it's like Christina said, it all falls back on self-awareness, understanding who you are. I think this was so prevalent for me. You know, after football, I had very shallow goals. I know I was like, I just want to be successful in the corporate world, drive a nice car, have a nice place I live in. And ironically, like, it was very shallow things that I wanted to accomplish post-playing career. But ironically, I did those things, but I was very unhappy doing those things. And I think that, you know, we all think we need to live this certain life, or we all think we want this certain life. And deep down, you may not really want it. And that was so obvious for me because I was putting my life, I was going on a trajectory in my life that was completely unaligned with who I am and what I'm doing right now. And I would have never known that if I didn't get incredibly self-aware. And I feel like a lot of us, you know, day to day do operate mindlessly, subconsciously. We're doing things because we either always have done them or we've been, you know, programmed to think we have to do this or have to do that. And you really don't know like what it is you want until you do that work and find that out. Like, what do you really want? Like, what do you want at the source? Not what, you know, your family wants, not what society tells you you should have, not what, you know, your neighbor tells you you should have, whatever, whoever it may be in your life influencing your decision making and what you're doing on a daily basis. All that shit does not matter. What matters is what you want at the source and who you are at the source. And you will only figure that out by doing the work. And I know one last thing is the 16 personalities test. That is something that if any of you are struggling, I highly recommend taking that. There's a lot of frou-frou, like bullshit, gimmicky, like personality tests out there that you can take that aren't reliable. And they just give you, you know, like I said, kind of BS results. But this thing, I don't even know how I came across it. Do you remember how I even came across that 16 personalities thing?
I think someone recommended it to you. I'd taken it before, but it was like so long ago I forgot about it. I think someone like recommended that you take it when you were going through because you were like seeking help, like, hey, what should I do next? You know, asking around, talking to mentors and stuff like that. And I think someone recommended it.
Right. But anyway, you basically take, you know, an in-depth analysis style test about who you are, your interests, you know, all those things, and it gives you a feedback form for free, but if you pay like a little bit more, I think it was literally like 20-30 bucks, it literally gives you like this in-depth analysis. So I was just like, you know what, screw it, I'm gonna pay for this, it can't hurt. And so I did it, and I mean, oh my god, the, you know, this analysis that it gave you was insane. I mean, as far as like career wise, I mean, I know mine said literally like my number one career to a T was like coach, and I'm like, well, that's ironic because that's pretty much what I'm doing right now. And so a lot of things, like it gives you a relationship wise, like how you'll be in relationships, how you'll be in your, you know, prospective career, things like that. It just gives you a super in-depth analysis. So I highly recommend doing that 16 personalities test for any of you out there who are struggling to find what your purpose is. And this will help you become more self-aware.
Yeah, yours was like spot on. And also just like surrounding yourself with like-minded people too, because when we were going through this season where you were kind of in a transitional period, like I was doing online coaching, your sister was doing online coaching. So being around people who are doing the things that you see yourself doing.
That you want to do.
And they can kind of show you the way, which is kind of how it worked out. But
yeah.
Talking about personal training, next question is, what should you look for when hiring a personal trainer? Number one thing is certifications. If they're just an Instagram influencer, if they have a following and zero certifications, they're teaching you what results they got from another coach probably. So they don't actually have an education or a certification. We have a ton of certifications and background and experience, and I think that's what you should look for. If you're curious, like a lot of people don't have it in their Instagram bios or whatever that may be, like literally ask, like, hey, just curious, what's your certifications? If you're seeking out a coach, also look for their testimonial. So I know I have a highlight on my page of like client results. You share a lot of your client results too. Look at their tag photos. Like a lot of people tag their trainers. So just really look at like, is there proof in their work and in their education, knowledge, and experience from transformations? And also, do they practice what they preach? I know this is a huge thing that Zach's going to talk about, but do they practice what they preach? I know there's a ton of trainers out there that just do not, simply. And I'm not inspired by people who are not practicing what they preach, who have zero certifications, and who have trained one person and put out there that they are a very experienced trainer, essentially. Yeah. So really do your research on people.
Yeah, and I think pulling back to where Christina said first about making sure they have a certification, I think a crucial question that you guys should ask any fitness professional that you're looking to hire is, when's the last time you did continuing education? Because I know for a fact 90% of trainers out there get a bullshit certification and they just, that's the only certification they have. Even if they've been trainers for 4 or 5 years, I know you learn a lot from experiences, but you have to keep up to date with the data, with the research, the information that's being put out about humans and how we react and respond to certain stimulus, to certain nutrition protocols, physical protocols, training protocols, things like that. You have to stay up to date on those things. I know Christina has, like she said, she's got several certifications. I have several certifications. We both look forward to doing continued education. If there's a trainer that you are looking to hire who has one certification and does absolutely no continuing education, I would probably say that that indicates they really don't give a shit, or they don't take passion and pride in continuing and learning more about the industry so that they can give you that information back. That is something that we're so passionate about, is continually learning and bettering ourselves so that we could become more valuable to those individuals that we serve. So I think that is huge, hugely important to ask. And yes, don't hire someone who's just got really good at making TikToks and reels and are an attractive individual and have blown up a following. That does not necessarily mean they know how to coach you or know exactly how to get you from point A to point B. And yeah, testimonials, make sure that individual, you know, has proof to back up what it is that they're talking about. We both have that. We both share it on social media, all of our transformations. And lastly, yes, practice what you preach. You know, I'm not going to hire a financial coach that is terrible with their money. So why would I hire, you know, a coach that doesn't take care of their health, doesn't practice what they preach from a nutrition or physical standpoint? And I'm not saying you have to be, you know, the most shredded trainer in the world and you have to have six-pack abs, but you got to be trying. Like, you got to be working toward, you know, bettering yourself and showing your clients that you're doing so. Because through that example, you're going to motivate people and you're going to inspire them to do the things you're saying. Like, it's going to be really hard for them to implement some things you're talking about in your nutrition, you know, if you are being lazy with your nutrition. Like, if you're telling them, hey, you need to track your macros because we're going to change your physique, and you've never done that, or say the last time you did it was years ago and you've really let yourself go, is there a good chance that they're going to be motivated, you know, to do it themselves? Probably not. They're going to be like, who is this fraud? So, I mean, that's something I'm very passionate about personally. I think it's huge. I also think from the trainer perspective, you can speak directly to the struggles that they are going to go through in that journey. Because if I never went through, you know, riding hardcore on an assault bike, or if I never went through the stress of tracking all my meals day in and day out, how am I going to be able to meet them in the middle and speak to how difficult those things are? That's something that I feel is invaluable when I serve other people and I train other people, is that I can speak to that level. I know the hardship. I know what it feels like or how difficult it is to do something from a training perspective or to do something from a nutrition protocol perspective, because I lived it. I've done it. I understand their struggle and I can meet them in the middle. And that is huge from a coaching standpoint. You can coach people way better when you've been through it yourself and you understand where they're struggling. That's the biggest thing, because then you can meet them in the middle and talk them through it.
That's right. And I know we're talking a lot about like what not to look for too, but if you see a personal trainer out there giving out meal plans, the only person who can do a meal plan is a registered dietitian, and meal plans also are not a sustainable lifestyle for a lot of people.
We could do a whole podcast on why meal plans suck.
Yes,
we can. It teaches you nothing. What happens when you're on vacation? What happens when that meal plan ends? You learn nothing.
When you're celebrating, when it's the weekend, when you go out to eat. Yeah. It's just like impossible to maintain
it. It doesn't teach you anything.
Next question we have is, what's one thing you wish you knew when you first started your fitness journey? And for me, I know big thing for me was, it's not a race. I used to be a quick fix kind of gal, and I'm not proud to say it, but I started my fitness journey like so long ago. Like in high school, I got a YMCA membership. I was doing Pinterest workouts. I was running on the treadmill. I wasn't really lifting weights. I would train for softball and then go straight to the gym, run for hours, look up a quick fix diet. I would eat the Special K diet, which makes me sick, where you eat
But
Special
you learn
K
so much from, like, yeah. You're really, like, that's why I always joke. I'm like, I always tell Christina, I'm like, you're the GOAT, because, like, she's truly been doing it, like, since she was sending out PDFs to people. We didn't even have softwares to use to make your life easier. That's so right. She really knows what the hell she's doing.
Thank you. I mean, so much. Yeah, I trial and error everything for you guys, so you don't have to, but I was like, it's a race. Like, I have to reach this goal. And then what? You know, we're on our fitness journey for the rest of our lives. So if I would have done that a long time ago, my metabolism probably would have been a lot different. You know, I competed in bodybuilding too. So that was a race to be like show ready by a certain date. And then I was like, okay, now what? My metabolism is screwed and I don't know what's sustainable anymore because it was so restrictive. So I feel like I was always racing and comparing myself to other people, but ultimately like just slow down and make a sustainable lifestyle long enough, because you're going to be doing it forever. So don't do something that is short-term, quick fix, because the long-term gratification is so much better.
Yeah. And this is the one thing about your fitness journey, right?
Yeah. It's not a race.
Yeah, that was yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
yeah.
A lot of things, but
no,
that's
it's
the
okay.
Main message.
I was just making sure we were that was the one that we were on. Yeah. Sorry, guys, we've got some questions in front of us, but yeah. So for my, you know, the one thing that I wish I would have known when I started my fitness journey is really how important overall calorie consumption is. I would say that was probably for some reason the thing that took me the longest to really come to understand and fully grasp. I think I personally, and again, this is just me talking personally, I really got caught up in diet fads, in these flashy protocols, quick fixes, things like that. I was basically focusing on just about everything other than what really mattered most, and that was overall calorie intake. You know, I've always been a bigger dude. It's always been really difficult for me to be lean and to have a lean body mass. And so I think for myself and for anybody out there who might, that might sound the same for, I know that this was really tough for me to grasp. And it took me a really long time to just like get it through my head that look, keto doesn't matter. Paleo doesn't matter. Eating all meat doesn't matter. Whatever it may be, whatever ridiculous thing that, you know, we've been sold on, the only thing that matters when manipulating your body weight, your body physique, and your muscle mass is that overall caloric intake. So honestly, that is like one of the main things that would have saved me years of heartache. You know, like I said, I got caught up a lot with a lot of the quick fixes and little, you know, fads and things like that, when in reality, if I would have just accepted the fact that it was overall intake that would make the difference and would get me to where I wanted to be, I probably would have gotten where I am now a very long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, learn from our mistakes, guys.
Yeah.
We will do one more question, and then we're going to do a part two, because you guys asked so many amazing questions, and we don't want to rush through just for time's sake. So we will be finishing off this question, and then we'll be doing a whole other episode, so stay tuned for that. Favorite PD things to do as a couple? I love this question, and I think that everything we do personal development-wise, we do together. We live mm-hmm. together. You know, we started dating the day before quarantine, so we pretty much do everything together, but I will say, like, my favorite thing we do is our morning routine together. We'll do our reading personal development books. We will journal. We both have our own journals that we use each day. And then we also like watch church together, just like doing all these things together. And every single place we go, we listen to a podcast. We don't listen to music. We're like very intentional with our time together, because we know as we grow individually, we grow as a couple, we grow in our careers, we grow in our fitness and our health. So just doing all of these daily personal development habits we recommend, but alongside your partner.
Yeah, and I think for me, something that I really like that we both do is we just kind of bounce things off one another. I feel like we both individually have routines, you know, books that we read, podcasts that we listen to, but we're always kind of bouncing those ideas off one another and making each other better from our own individual work. And I think that that's something that's really cool, where we can take what we're doing individually and then kind of combine it collectively and spitball ideas, spitball, you know, strategies, things that we can do collectively and individually to just better our lives and better our relationship and better, you know, everything that we've got going on a day-to-day basis. Because I think it's important that, you know, you guys both meet, if you are a couple or if you're in a relationship right now, that you guys kind of meet in the middle in that respect and you're on the same page. I think that's the most important thing, is like, mm-hmm. we really work to stay on the same page with everything, from both a communication standpoint, but also just from a personal development standpoint as well. So I think that that's what's really cool too, is just feeding kind of off the personal work and individual work and letting that impact us kind of collectively.
Yeah, and I also love that when I met you, you had a bookshelf of so many PD books. I was like, wow, this is so attractive. And I also have a huge shelf of PD books, so we, you know, honestly swap back and forth. So if you buy personal development books, like, trade with each other. Like I said, with the power of now, just like giving it to the other person with all the like underlined sentences and highlighted pages, it's just cool to like see what the other person took from it, and also to be able to swap and like understand those concepts of like being present mm-hmm. and all those things together. So yeah, we do a lot of personal development things together now that I think about it. But yeah, I'm glad this person asked that question. And like I said, we'll have a part two, so you guys stay tuned for next week. There's more personal development, supplement questions, training questions. Mm-hmm. There's just so much to dive into next week. So we hope that you guys enjoyed. Please share, review, leave a 5-star review if you'd like. Comment below the episode what you guys want to hear from us next. And
we'll keep this thing going.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And definitely check out part two when we release it. Peace.